You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
and today's message, and my wife does these every week. It's titled something called The Believer's Valley Experiences, and good read. Don't read it now. Just pay attention to what I'm doing. But read it later. And listen, it kind of helps us understand we're going to have some of these periods sometime. But the Lord's got you. And I don't care who says what. He's got you. And he's going to work it out. So stay close to him. He says in verse 5, they are of the world. Therefore the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hear them. And in verse 6 he says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. And John says, herein or hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And guys, what I've found throughout life, and it's a scriptural principle as well, many times we're saying something to someone, or I'm talking to someone, and they ask me my opinion or what they think they should do because they're in a dilemma or in a trial or going through something. And so invariably, I'm going to give them what God's word says. And either they're going to be obedient to his word and God's going to bless them for being that, or they're not. But in a lot of cases, I'll tell them what the word says, and they'll say, okay, and then they go and do something diametrically different from what I told them God's word said. And I realize that they have not heard what I said, surely have not heard what God said. And listen, what I found is that the way you know that someone is hearing, and the way God knows that if you've heard him or not, is that because you are obedient to what he said. And if he said that you need to go here or stop this or do that, you need to do it. And if you're not doing that, then you've not heard him. But man, it's like the turkey in the oven. And you look in there and you say, nah, she ain't done yet. And you crank it up just a little higher, and you close the door. And listen, he can get it as hot as it needs to be. He said those whom he loves, he chastens, and that chastening can come in many forms. But if we're obedient, if we simply do what he says do, you're actually going to be okay. Amen? He says in verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, he says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And by the way, scripture says, and listen, we've lived it out in our lives in Matthew 7, that you really can tell a tree by the fruit that comes off of it. And if it's godly fruit, you can bet your bottom dollar it's a tree that's been rooted and planted by Christ. But if it's an ungodly tree, you can pretty much bet that it's not one that our God has anything to do with. Guys, I would ask that you be prayerful with me as I preach along this sermon series. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And Father, as we dig deeper into 1 John, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll bless and minister. And as you already have, Father God, as you brought us into a brand new year. And Father God, we're starting off in a good place right here in your word. Father, we pray that you'll watch over us and bless as you see fit. As Deacon Frank said earlier in his prayer, that there are some that can't be here or could not be here or chose not to be here. But Father, please even anoint the recording so when they see that recording, that they'll be blessed even by your word as well. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. And amen. I'm going to read verse 6 and then go into verse 7. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And as he goes and moves into verse 7, he begins to speak about God's love that for his people, but God's love is actually in his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. In verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth, and everyone that says that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." In other words, God, not just simply saying it, but it flows in your life. It flows in your mouth. It flows in your words. It flows in your action. And listen, you're not just saying, "I love the Lord." Your actions are showing that you indeed do love him. I'm reminded of, I used to watch, and still do watch it sometimes, Sanford and His Son with Fred Sanford, Red Fox. And he told his wife one time, she said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "I told you I loved you when we got married. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know." But guys, that's not the kind of love that God has for us. God loves us. He loves us eternally. And listen, he hadn't brought you this far to turn you loose for you to be on your own. He loves you every moment of every day. Loves you so much. And look, he didn't just say it. He said, "Jesus, I need you to go to earth because I need somebody to pay for the sins of sinful man." And Christ did it. And listen, he showed us his love by sending his only begotten son in our place. And that love is a forever love. And that love is what gets us into heaven. He says in verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And surely we know it's more than just, it makes a good bumper sticker, but it's more than just a bumper sticker, guys. What we know is that God loved us again so much that he indeed sent his son, and he's not going to take that love back, and he shows us his love every day. And look, even when he chastens us, even when he lets us know that we're going the wrong way, that's love as well. And when we're out and about and talking to folk in the world, and listen, when he directs us towards someone and we say something to them about Christ or about their sin or whatever it is, and sometimes folk think that you're being mean, they think that you're not being right, they're saying you're not respecting me, man, but you're really showing them love. Because if you don't tell them, who else is going to tell them? But these guys that we saw earlier with that itchy ear gospel, those that are not of God, those false prophets, they'll tell them whatever they want to hear. But man, God loves me too much to lie to me, and I love you too much to lie to you as well. Man, a lot of folk look at me and they say, "Oh, that's Pastor Ralph. Man, that guy's okay. He preaches okay." But man, at home, I'm not really Pastor Ralph. I'm either Beetle, which is my nickname, or Ralph. And if I do something wrong, I have a disciple that lives with me. And she's not my disciple. She's a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if I go wrong, guess what? She's going to call me on it. Because she loves me. And loves me too much to let me go out thinking that I'm right. And when in reality I'm wrong. And God's the same way. He does that with we his children, guys. He loves us too much to let us continue in our folly or in our sin. He says in verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world," it says, "that we might through him," I'm going to read verse 9 again. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might," he says, "live through him." And guys, he's talking about abundant living through Jesus Christ. And I hear what you're saying or what you're thinking, that, man, I'm going through this here. It don't seem so abundant to me. I'm going through this here, and I got to deal with this over here. But God says, "I love you, and I love you to death, and I love you forever." There's a verse, and I'm not going to turn there, but I'll read it, John 10 and 10. It says, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come," and this is Christ, "that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." In other words, guys, even in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, in the midst of surgery, in the midst of illness, God says, I still got you. And hallelujah, you can still have my joy because I'm still with you and I still love you. And I don't care what the world thinks about you, but you're mine. And because of that, I'm going to take care of you. But he's going to take care of us in his time and in his way for the one that loves him back and for the one that's obedient to him in all things. He goes on in verse 10, herein is love. Not that, and I love this, we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And guys, we know he's talking about the satisfactory offering for sin. And by the way, he was the only satisfactory offering that could ever be used. That back in the old covenant, they would use the best animal they could find, and they would sacrifice that, and that would cover their sin for a year. It wasn't forgiving their sin. But God grabbed hold of himself and said himself, and himself died on the cross, and he died for our sin, and he was sinless and sinless perfection and indeed had no sin nature. And that was the only thing that God could use. And guess what? It worked. Because God's standards are oh so much higher than even the priests in the temple standards. And not only did Christ death, burial, and resurrection, it didn't just cover sin, it forgave sin. Because scripture says that God's wrath was poured out on his own son, and to a point where God had to say, God, Jesus had to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because for a moment in time, and surely in eternity, God had to turn his back on his son so he could deal with the sin that God can't deal with no sin. And he did that once and for all, and he died and was buried and rose up, and hallelujah, he was ready to go to heaven and send his spirit down to those who would be belong to Christ. And he did that, and he does that, and he continues to do that. And guys, we on this side as his church, we need to be representing him in a way that's pleasing in his sight. And I get it, we all got different minds and different thoughts and different ways and different bents. Come from different parts of the country, and our family did it this way, our family did it this way. And God says, I don't care about your earthly family. I care about you and your spiritual family. And this is the way we do life. That old way is over. And listen, if I have a bet from my family, a certain habit that I used to do because my family, everybody in my family did it, if it's against God's word, I need to ask him to take that away from me. Because I realize now that it's not godly. Guys, almost everybody in my family at one time drank. Most of them drank. And so I did as well. And listen, I was an alcoholic, and I don't mind admitting that. And so that was something that I kept doing even after I got saved. And God helped me to know that, brother, this is not how you represent me here in the world. That you're not to be drunk with wine, but only under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I realized that when I was drinking, I was no longer under God's control. I was under my flesh's control. In fact, I was leaning toward the control of Satan and going right back to that way. And he said, no, you don't need that. And you don't need that anymore. And he took it, and he was right. I didn't need that. And there's a whole lot of other things that he took from me and some things that he's still working with me because he wants me to be more like his son. Amen. He says in verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He goes on, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also, he said, to love one another. And listen, he has given us the ability to do that. And what happens sometimes with the world, they think because we're saying that this is sin and this is wrong, and God says that you shouldn't do that, they think that we're being mean, but he's saying that we ought to love one another. And look, we keep each other accountable And we're this great big family here on earth. We're going to be that family there in heaven. And we need to go ahead and get started on getting right while we are here. And man, look at this. And listen, some of you guys are from the north. Some of you are from the south. Some of you are white. Some of you are black. Some of you are from Ireland. Some of you are from somewhere else. And listen, God said, no, I'm saving you. And you look around and we all look different. And you look at my Father through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And he said, whoa, they're mine. And they're conducting themselves like they belong to me. And I don't much care what that skin looks like, because guess what? They ain't going to have that long anyway. When I take them out of here, we're going to get a body that's composed and set up like Jesus, a heavenly body. So pay no attention to the guy at the pulpit. I might look a little old, but I ain't going to always be this way. And listen, what we know in life, in physical life, we're here, and we're here for a time, and we get older. Like our car get older, our everything gets older, things start breaking down. Nothing was meant to last forever, with the exception of your soul. And that will last forever. And the question is, where will your soul dwell? In heaven with Christ, or in hell with those that refuse to believe and listen to him? He says in verse 10, Herein is love. He said, man, brother, how many times you going to read that? Herein is love. He says, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love, it says, is perfected in us. And look, what he's talking about is the more we love, the more he matures us, the more he makes us look like Jesus Christ. And because we start looking more and more like Christ, others are attracted to us as well. Not because of how we look, but because of how we carry ourselves and who we represent. And listen, he's saying that in regard to our love for one another, man, it ought to be just, it's part of your DNA. You can't help but to show love, because you have been loved, and you've been loved by the best, and you got his spirit in you. And listen, you might try to be mean, but if you belong to God, man, he'd love the hell out of you. And we need to let it stay out of us. And look, many times we get upset. Many times we want to fuss and fight over stuff that don't even mean nothing. God said, no, I gave you my love, and you ought to be happy. And you ought to want to share that love with somebody else who are miserable. And I dare say those of the world are miserable. And they're trying to climb the ladder to success. And guys, guess what? Kick down your ladder. You've already made it if you're in Christ. And it ought to show. Amen. Deacon Frank, I'm not going to read it again. But I will read. Verse 11, he said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And he's talking about being made more and more like Christ as he matures us. And listen, though they've not seen God, man, when they see you, they ought to say, man, there's something different about that guy, that gal. Man, well, what is it about them? It's just something different. And the difference is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And though they've never seen God, they ought to be able to look at you and realize, and even if you tell them, because you belong to him, that I am his representative. And that's the difference. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing when somebody recognizes it in you. Know there's a difference. And then you can share with them about the one who has loved you. He says in verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. And again, it shows. In John 14 and 15, John has the audacity to say that if you love me, Christ is saying in John, you will keep my commandments. And listen, he also is going to let us know that his commandments really aren't grievous. They're not hard. And listen, all he does is say, do what I tell you to do. How hard is that? And listen, I know some families that got kids, and many times you'll tell a kid to do something, and you only got to tell him one time, and he's not going to go away from that. But there's always that one that the parent's going to tell them, don't touch that, don't do that. But the second you say don't do it, it gets in their head that they're going to do it. And many times they will get burned. Man, I learned a long time ago, if God says it, I'm going to be obedient to it. Because I have been burned a few times. And when I say burned, I've been chasing a few times. And listen, it didn't take a whole lot for me to know that God means what he says, and he says what he means, and that if indeed I am his child, he's going to do whatever he got to do to get me in line with him. And listen, if he got to lay Brother Ralph on his back with an ailment, he'll do that. If he got to take and hit my money and so I can't do anything with that, he'll do that. If he got to mess my life up where I just can't get anything on track, he's going to do that when I will have no other recourse but to look up and see the Savior and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Just like he did with Paul the Apostle when he blinded him. He had no other choice. And he will leave you with no other choice but himself. But there are some, just like that bad kid, that they'll keep trying you. And trying you, and they'll try God, and try God. And listen, he has no problem issuing out chastisement. He really don't. And he's not doing it for your evil or your hurt. He's doing it because he knows he has something better in store for you. And he simply wants you to follow his laws and his precepts. Because if you do that, what he has for you is oh so much better than what you think you have for yourself. Amen. My wife always uses this word in regard to being obedient. In essence, she's saying to be sold out for Christ, that we need to come out from ourselves and sit up under him and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it, no matter what. And she used a saying from Pastor Stanley one time, that Pastor Stanley said if God told him to run toward that wall and don't stop, that he's going to put on his track shoes and start running, because he believes that God's going to do something between here and that wall, that he's going to somehow work it out. Guys, and God doesn't give us stuff to do that's that hard. He really doesn't. He simply wants you to be obedient to him, sold out for his cause, and to come under his leadership and to do what he's called us all to do. And for me, man, it's so easy. I just simply go the way he says go. And you know something? Every time I do that, it always works out. And it might be a little dark sometimes. It might seem grievous sometimes, but in reality, it always works out, because God's way is oh so much better than our way. And he's already mapped this thing out. And listen, he already knows what he has for you. And he knows the plans he has for you. And listen, they're not grievous. They're not bad, but they're for good. But somehow in our minds, like that bad little kid, we think our way is better than God's way. And listen, I hear folks say sometimes, well, what does it, I say to folks sometimes, what is it going to take for them to fall under the Lord and be obedient? Because you see their lives, and they're falling apart, and this is happening, and that's happening, and they can't get this right, and one thing after another. And what I know is that when that has happened in my life, and it has, that it made me just stop and ask the Lord, what am I doing wrong here? How come I keep falling into this? Why is it I keep banging my head against the wall? How come I take two steps forward and then I fall back four? Lord, what is going on? And it makes me stop and ask him. And he'll say, Brother Ralph, I'm glad you asked. And he will show me the error of my ways. Maybe I'm over here and I was supposed to be over here. Maybe I'm doing this and I was supposed to have been doing that. Maybe I'm not giving him the glory in all that I do, in all that my life. Maybe I'm just not sold out for the cause of Christ. And guys, that word that I was searching for and my wife loves so, it's surrender. Surrendering ours and falling under his. And it will go so much easier for you. And it goes so much easier for me when we fall under God through the moving of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and fall prostrate and if need be on the ground and say, Lord, here I am. Take this old life and do with me as you please. Because I'm tired and I just can't take these issues that keep popping up in my life anymore. And listen, I'm not presupposing that any of you guys are there. I pray you aren't. But if you're there, or even if you know someone that's there, please let them know that if the problem that you're having is Christ, then your only fix is going to be Jesus Christ. And that you can twist and turn and do this and do that. But until you fall under him and surrender your life to him, it's not going to go well for you. But when you do, hallelujah, you'll wonder why you waited so long to be obedient to him. Amen. Guys, I'm going to close this sermon out and I'm going to move into our communion service. And I pray, even those that are watching on video, if these words, if these truths are speaking to your heart, take them to heart and ask the Lord to show you what you need to do. And Father, we just thank you, dear Lord, how you're touching and blessing and ministering to all of us. Father, we thank you for this place called Lamplighter, whom you have touched their heart in regard to allowing us to do what we do here week after week, Father God, for many, many years. We're so thankful to you for that. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for each and every one that's here, Lord, that you have touched them and spoken to them and that these truths that we looked at, that you'll place them in our hearts where they would do the most good for understanding, for wisdom, dear Lord. And look, I don't know, but you know, for salvation if the need arises. And Father, as we move into our communion service, I pray in the name of Jesus that the elements that we use, they're simply unleavened bread and grape juice, Father God, that you'll help us or allow us to use them for a more spiritual use. And with the bread, the unleavened bread, Father God, we remember the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father God, for the grape juice, dear Lord, that it will represent the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we remember that he did that for us. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And let God's church say, amen. And guys, as we move into our communion service right now, just take a moment. Make sure you're right in your heart because you don't want to partake of this table if you're not right in your heart. Amen. Take a moment, please.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.